Good evening and welcome to our Sunday night broadcast from St. Field Baptist Church. As always, we want to welcome you and do greatly appreciate you tuning in to the service this evening. If you were out with us this morning, I want to thank you for coming, and it was good to be back in God's house, and it was really good to be able to see each other's faces. I know that we weren't all there, and that's okay, and as I have kept saying throughout these last number of weeks, we are not forcing you to come to church, but the church was back open this morning, and it all seemed to go okay, and everybody I think that attended we're glad to be there and certainly felt safe. So maybe if you're feeling a little bit apprehensive, maybe you've watched online this morning and feel that you would like to come, then we would love to see you. Maybe now's actually a good time if you do want to come back to church during this time where maybe the numbers are that little bit smaller and maybe not as intimidating, then you are most welcome to come. Do remember that next Sunday morning, 11:30, we are back in the church building again. Everything is well spaced out, plenty of social distancing measures in place, and so you'll be made very welcome. Equally, if you still want to watch online, that is absolutely fine, and we understand that, and you just come whenever you feel that you want to come. Don't get too used to sitting at home though, because we do eventually want to see everybody back at our church again soon. But we are thankful to the Lord for the technology that allows us to broadcast, and we've been thankful for that over this past number of weeks and months. And just as I mentioned that, and do please remember in the incoming week that we are having our holiday Bible Club for boys and girls, and we're doing that online virtually through our YouTube page. So if you go onto our website or you go onto our Facebook, you'll be able to find the link that will take you to our YouTube page. And each night at 6:30 this week, Andy and Ruth Lavelle, alongside some of our searchers, helpers from our church fellowship, will be live each night to do a holiday Bible club. So boys and girls, mums and dads, do remember to tune in each night at 6:30 p.m. And as always, we want you to be praying for that ministry. We know the reach of the Word of God and how far it's been going out over the internet, and so we really want to pray that the Lord would use this opportunity for the furtherance of His work and for the glory of His name. Also, Wednesday night at 8 o'clock, we're back online again for our time of prayer and our time of in God's Word, some devotional thoughts from God's Word. So do please remember that Wednesday night at 8 o'clock. And also the deacons, just if you would remember that Tuesday night at 8 o'clock, we're back in the church for a review meeting of this morning as we continue to work away on our church building and getting it to a place where we're happy with it. But thank you again this evening for tuning in. And tonight we're coming in God's Word to the book of Jonah. So we're coming to the little prophecy of Jonah. And I know Jonah is a favourite of many of God's people, but over this next number of Sunday nights, now let me give a disclaimer. I am doing the whole book of Jonah in four Sunday nights, so I won't get into every nook and cranny, and it'll not be a detailed study, but rather an overview. And I was thinking about this little series called The Prodigal Prophet and lessons that we can learn from the life of Jonah. So you take your time and find your way to Jonah, Amos, and then you come to Obadiah, and then you come to Jonah, and then you'll find Micah. So if you're in Micah, you're too far. If you're in Obadiah, you're too early. And Jonah, just four chapter slots in between the two. So let's take the time this evening and let's read Jonah chapter 1, and we'll read the whole chapter. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship,
and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, let's just come before the Lord before we get into his word together. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help as we come to his word. Our Father in heaven, we still ourselves before you, our Father, and we humble ourselves, and we want to thank you that we have access to come into your presence this evening. And with the word of God open upon our knees, Father, we ask that the still small voice of God the Holy Spirit would teach us. Father, speak to us, Lord. Those of us who are believers, there's messages in here, there's reminders in here, there's lessons here for our living that we can learn from these characters of the Bible. We know that these things were written aforetime for our learning, that we might learn from the lives and experiences of these people. Lord, we know there's also a message here for those that don't yet know the Lord, and we ask, Father, that as your word would go out across the internet this evening, far and wide, Lord, we know that the reach is something that we have no idea of, but we thank you that you are using the internet for your glory. And Father, we ask that as a result of this ministry tonight, that even someone who doesn't know the Lord, someone who's like Jonah, who's running from God, might consider their latter end and put their trust in you. Father, we pray not only for ourselves, but other places where your word is going out tonight. Father, we ask your blessing upon it, whether in the open air, whether in a church building, or whether on the internet. We ask our God that you would be pleased to add your blessing to the ministry of your word. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm quite sure that you all are familiar with the story of Jonah. Certainly in our house, it's a firm favourite for bedtime. The story of Jonah and the great fish and the mission that God had sent him on. But you know, the little book itself is a fantastic book, and there's many different angles from which the book of Jonah could be preached. Tim Keller, in his commentary on Jonah, says that Jonah is a book of varied applicability. And I've certainly found that as I've read it many times before, that there's many different themes that run throughout it. Even though there are only four chapters, there's many themes. And I would encourage you as a Christian to read it and look for them. You see, this book is about many things. It's about the call of God on a believer's life and their natural tendency to run from that. And you know, if all of us are honest, we all are scared at times of God's call on our lives, and we can be apprehensive. And certainly the book of Jonah is about that. The book of Jonah is also about a believer's struggles with obedience to God. You know, naturally we're disobedient. We're children of disobedience, and we find it hard to obey the Lord. And Jonah was a man chosen by God for special service, and yet he struggled with obedience. He battled with the will of God. The book is also about God's sovereign dominion over the things of nature as he employs them to fulfill his purpose. You know, it's amazing as you read throughout the word of or throughout the book of Jonah, we see God as this sovereign creator employing the things of this earth and using them at his disposal, whether it's a mighty ocean, the great winds, a large fish, a tiny worm, a small plant, the sun in the sky. You know, right throughout the book of Jonah, we see God's sovereign control to use the things of this earth. We also see the fact it's a book of providence. But you know, the book is also, and if nothing else, and perhaps overarchingly, about God's grace. You know, in the month of June, we looked at Portraits of Amazing Grace, four people who experienced the amazing grace of God. Jonah could be one of those. You know, the book of Jonah is a book about grace. You know, it's a book where about God's grace demonstrated to the prophet Jonah, to the place of Nineveh, and to the people of that city. You know, so often we can see the book of Jonah as a book of judgment and repentance, but it's actually a book of grace. It's a book about the fact that God is a God of second chances, and thank God that he is. But you know, also in this book, we're again given a glimpse of God's compassion for the pagan nations outside of Israel. You know, the Lord loves Israel, and Israel are his special elect people. But you know, God has a heart for the whole world. God has a love for not just the Jew, but for the Gentile and for the nations onto the uttermost parts of the earth. In fact, in John chapter 3 and verse 16, we read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God doesn't just love an elect group of people or a select group of people. God loves the whole world in so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the book of Jonah is proof of that text, because here's this prophet, and he's ordained a prophet unto Israel, and yet God calls him to go to Nineveh, a pagan Gentile city, a wicked city, and preach repentance. And you know, God was reaching out his hand of grace, not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile. And it reminds us tonight that God's love is unconditional. Our focus, however, will be on Jonah himself over this next four Sunday nights. And I've actually borrowed from Tim Keller, the title of his book is the title for my series, Jonah the Prodigal Prophet. We're going to look tonight at him as a man. The man who ran from God. The man who wrestled with God's call on his life. The man who spent more than one occasion in God's school of discipline. And yet he's a man that you and I can learn so much about. Who was Jonah? And I know there's much controversy about this book, and I'll mention those as we go through the weeks. But who was Jonah? Well, first of all, Jonah was a real person. He was not a fictional character. You know, this book is a historical book. Jonah was a real person. He was from Gath Hepher in Zebulun. So he was actually a real person. But you know, not only was he a real person, but he was a reluctant prophet. He was called by God to minister in the northern kingdom of Israel during the reign of Jeroboam II. He served alongside Hosea and Amos. And so, yes, he was a real person, but he was a reluctant prophet. He was tasked by God for a purpose, and yet he was reluctant about that. And I love the thought of that God uses broken vessels. God uses people who are not perfect to fulfill his purposes. You know, while there's much controversy over Jonah, the book and the story, and is it a real narrative, is it not? Well, one of the reasons how we know that this is a historical account is the very fact that the Lord Jesus endorsed it. And as he was speaking about his resurrection, he pointed to Jonah as a type of his own death, burial, and resurrection. And Jesus says, Jonah was in the belly of the great fish for 3 days and three nights, so the Lord would be in the heart of the earth, but would rise again. And so the Lord verifies the account of Jonah. In each one of the four chapters, we're given a different insight into Jonah's character. In chapter 1, we find Jonah rebelling. In chapter number 2, we find Jonah repenting. In chapter 3, we find Jonah responding. But in chapter 4, we find Jonah resenting. So that's what we're going to look at in these next 4 weeks. Rebellion, repenting, responding, and resenting. Tonight, we're going to look at Jonah rebelling, because that's what chapter 1 is all about. I have just three very simple things that we're going to think about this evening. I want you to see, first of all, that Jonah's rebellion started with a personal decision. As you look at verse number 1 of Jonah, you'll notice that there is no lengthy introduction to the book. We just hit the ground running. In other translations, that word "now" is actually the word "and." And the word of the Lord came. You know, it's a reminder that there's no starts and stops, as it were, in God's redemptive plan. It's just one continuous narrative of a different series of events. And Jonah was no different. And the word of the Lord came. And what we find in this chapter as it opens up is that God calls this man Jonah, this prophet from Israel, to go and to preach judgment to Nineveh. God gives this man a mission. He just jumps onto the page of our Bible and the Lord says, arise, go to Nineveh. Now, what is Nineveh? Where was Nineveh? Well, today it would be northern Iraq. But it really was the capital of Assyria. And at that time, it was the largest city of the known world. Now, it was a pagan, godless, Gentile city. It was a wicked city. And you know, God has called Jonah essentially to enter enemy territory. He says, Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to leave the comforts and confines and the familiarity of Israel, where you have been working for me, and I want you to get up and I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you literally to go to this massive metropolis, and I want you to go behind enemy lines, and I want you to preach to them. Now, please don't misunderstand this, folks. This was no small thing that God had asked of Jonah. And, you know, we can be very hard. We can be as hard on Jonah sometimes as we are on Peter. And we can tut at Jonah and we can judge Jonah. But this was immense and intimidating. This was huge what God was asking Jonah to do. And naturally you and I would be reluctant. You know, I would be reluctant if the Lord called me to go across the water, never mind go across the world. And you know, this is not the kind of call that you want to get wrong. And you know, Jonah, I'm sure he wrestled, but we know that he wrestled with this. But here's the thing, and most vitally important for those maybe who's watching tonight, and you're considering God's call on your life or what God has for you, and maybe God is working on your heart or God's calling you to something and it's massive and it's immense and maybe it's another part of the world or it's intimidating. Here's the vital three words in Jonah chapter 1. Now the word of the Lord came. Jonah's call, yes, it was immense. Yes, it was intimidating. But Jonah's call was confirmed by the word of God. Some people say that when God calls you to something, you don't need a word from the Lord. I wouldn't say that you absolutely dogmatically need a word, but it's so much better if you do have. Because here was the concrete assurance that Jonah needed, that this was of the Lord, that he could rise and go in the assurance that the Lord was with him. And you know, when a call on our lives is confirmed by God's word, it's a solemn thing to choose and rebel. Has the Lord called you to something tonight? And he has made it clear in your word, in his word. Oh, be very careful about saying no. Remember, the devil will always make us doubt the word of God. Back in the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, hath God said? When God has said it in his word, we can be sure. And when Rachel and I came to Saintfield, and we've made it our pattern in our marriage that whenever the Lord is going to call us into anything or to do anything, we want it confirmed from his word. Because emotions lie and feelings lie and we can be deceived, but the word of God is sure. And so Jonah, though this call was massive, he had a concrete assurance from God's word, and yet it's a solemn thing to rebel. You know, Jesus said this in John 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, we cannot call him Lord if we refuse to obey his word. And yet rebel is what Jonah done. God said, rise and go, but Jonah rose and fled unto Tarshish. But Jonah, that's never a good sign. But Jonah, there's a phrase of contrast. He rose up to flee unto Tarshish. You know, Tarshish was the farthermost western rim of the known world. If Nineveh was the capital of the known world, Tarshish was the farthest western rim. And what is being said here is Jonah literally ran as far in the opposite direction as he could. God called him to go east, and Jonah went west. He was like, no way, this is not for me. This is massive. Now, why did Jonah run? Well, at this stage we aren't told, but perhaps because to him, God's call made no sense. It was unprecedented. It was out of the ordinary. It was shocking. No prophet had ever done that before. Certainly prophets in the past had preached to the nations, but no prophet had ever been posted to the nations. And Jonah is like, no, this is not how God works. It's so very easy to be like Jonah. How easy it is to have God down to working only one way. You know, I hate saying this cliche, but you know, to put God in a box. That God only works this way, and God works this way in everybody. And so if God decides to do something different or call me on a path that's completely not in my plans, when God deviates, calls us to do something that is unprecedented, out of the ordinary, different to normality, what do we automatically do? We run. We want to run from the will of God. We want to run away from God. Oh, we need to be so careful of making ourselves available to God's will, but within the confines of our own. Lord, I want you to call me to do this, that, or the other. And the Lord says, no, I don't want that. He says, I just want open availability. But you know, did it also reveal Jonah's true heart towards the most wicked sinners? Jonah was like, you know, I'm happy to preach to my own people. I'm happy to stay in Israel. And I know Israel's not a good place where I am. And I know we're rebellious people, but at least they're my own people. But hey, I'm not going to those people. Forget about it, Lord. I'm out of here. Isn't it very easy to reach the lovable? Lord, I'm happy to go and sit in the lovely little holiday Bible clubs with the lovely little children in this town, but Lord, don't ask me to go to the deprived areas. Oh Lord, no. Oh Lord, please post me to somewhere nice. Don't post me. I wonder, was that what it was? Did Jonah look at Nineveh and say, not a chance? And we know that when we come to chapter 4, Jonah resented God's grace toward that city. Oh, I don't know exactly what it was that made Jonah run, but Jonah was presented with a choice to trust and obey or to mistrust and run away, and he made a conscious choice to rebel. He chose to pay the fare. He chose to go into the boat. He chose to go to Tarshish. He ran. He turned away from the will of God. Some people say it's impossible to resist God. Here's proof. Jonah had a call in his life and he ran from the Lord. Notice many times the words went down are mentioned at the start of the chapter, twice in verse 3 and now, once in verse number 5, you see, that's very important because the path of rebellion is always a downward one. He went down, down, dying. But you know, as I've already said, Jonah is proof that we're all free will creatures, every one of us tonight, saved and unsaved. We are not robots. We are creatures of free will. Right back in the garden, Adam and Eve were presented with a choice. They were given boundaries. God told them not to touch or to take of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that choice was left up to them, and they chose to rebel, and as a result plunged us all into a place of rebellion. And God presents us with a choice to either accept or reject Christ. As I've often said, there'll be nobody in heaven that doesn't want to be there, and there'll be nobody in hell who does want to be there. God presents us with a choice. We're not talked into it. God does not twist his arm up our back. God presents himself to us. God convicts us. God speaks to us, but we have got to accept or reject Christ. And listen tonight, if you're lost and you've heard the word of God and you've been presented with a choice, oh, there's only one person to blame, and it's not the Lord. Just like the crowd at Pilate's judgment hall who chose to reject Christ and release Barabbas, listen tonight, you've got to make a similar choice. Are you going to accept Christ or reject him? You have a choice to make this evening. But remember this, you cannot run away from the omnipresent God. You can run and run and run, but eventually you'll come before the Lord. I wonder, is there somebody tonight that has run away from God in rebellion in the past? I want to say to you this evening, you cannot run away from God, as Jonah found out, because we see not only did Jonah's rebellion start with a personal decision, but Jonah's rebellion brought about preventable affliction. Because in verses 4 to 14, as Jonah soon find out there are serious consequences in running away from God. As Jonah boarded that boat and found that warm bed, he quietly drifted off to sleep. All was well, and he had gotten away with it. Maybe he had misread the circumstances, and all was okay. God was letting him go. However, here's the thing. We see that God loves Jonah too much to let him go his own way. Because look at what it says. In verse 3, we've got, but Jonah, but oh, thank God for verse 4, but the Lord. You see, the Lord loved Jonah too much to let him go his own way, just to drift off to sleep, just to run away from God's purpose for his life. Thank God for pursuing grace. Thank God that he pursued after Jonah. Thank God for his interventions and for the storms of correction and restoration in our lives. You know, God loves us too much to let us go our own way. And so as Jonah headed off to sleep, little did he realize that he was heading straight for a storm. Now, here's what I want you to remember tonight. This could have been prevented. This could have been prevented. But when we rebel against the Lord, we attract the disciplining hand of God. You see, God, as I've often said, sends storms to perfect us in our Christian faith, but God also sends storms to correct us. And God was sending a storm of correction, because as the men set out on this journey to Tarshish, they don't get very far when God suddenly sends not just a storm, but a great wind into the sea and a mighty tempest, right to the point when the mariners thought the boat was going to be broken off. The whole ship was battered and bombarded by this storm that came out of the blue. You see, it was a storm that God sent for correction. You see, storms are often the consequences to sin. Now, we must be careful. Not every storm in our lives is a consequence of sin. In fact, many of them aren't. But they often are. You see, we cannot sin against God and remain unaffected. Jonah failed to go to the great city and as a result find himself in the midst of a great storm. And it reminds us again of Proverbs 14 and 12 that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And you see, sooner or later our sin catches up on us just as surely as Jonah's done. Again, we read in Numbers 32 and 23, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. And Jonah's sin was finding him out. God wouldn't let him go. God wanted to get Jonah's attention. I want you to notice, and it's so vitally important we do, that Jonah's actions didn't only affect him. They affected everybody on the boat. They put everybody's life at risk. And how it reminds us that our sin rarely just affects us. Adam's sin plunged the whole race into rebellion and subsequently exposed all of us to the reprimanding hand of God. But in our own personal lives, Christians, remember, our sin never just affects ourselves. It affects our families and our relationships. We see it right across the world. But as we think about this storm, yes, it could have been avoided, could have been prevented, but as we look at this storm, we cannot fail to see God's grace in it. Oh, do you know, as painful as this was, it would have been worse for God to have just let Jonah go his own way. But God went after him. God sent this storm to stop him in his tracks. And I wonder, is that you tonight? You've been going down the path of life for a long time and you've turned your back upon the Lord. But right now, if you're honest, your life has been turned upside down. A storm has hit you. Maybe it's the storm of cancer. Maybe it's the storm of some other illness. Maybe it's the storm of your business going bankrupt. Maybe it's the storm of a family relationship, the death of a loved one. Out of the blue, suddenly a storm has come into your life that had been so tranquil. Oh, can I say to you this evening, don't ignore the storms. Don't batten down the hatches and try to ride it out, because God often sends the storms to speak to us, to get our attention. And that's why it says in Hebrews 3 and 15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. Oh, tonight God is trying to get your attention. Don't ignore the storm. Oh, isn't it interesting that the man in verse 13 rowed the harder to bring it to the land? Isn't it so often we try to get ourselves out of the storm? Really, the Lord wants us to turn to him. God sent this storm to get Jonah's attention. I wonder, has the Lord sent the storm in your life to get your attention? You know, as we learn from this narrative, there was only one way to stop the storm. Jonah had to jump overboard and throw himself in the Lord's mercy. One way to stop the storm that's raging in your heart, the turmoil inside where there is no peace, you've got to jump overboard and surrender your life to Christ. May not stop the storm of your circumstances outwardly, but it'll stop the storm of conviction inwardly, where you have no rest, no peace. Give up your rebellion. Realize that God always wins in the end. We see, first of all, that Jonah's rebellion started with a personal decision. Secondly, Jonah's rebellion brought about preventable affliction. But finally, I want you to see Jonah's rebellion led to painful correction. The only way to stop the storm was the man had to throw Jonah overboard. He realized the storm had been sent by the Lord because of him and his actions. And as Jonah is taken and the man cast him into the sea, notice in verse 15, the sea ceased raging. But you know, while the storm ceased, the moment Jonah was thrown overboard, he found himself drowning. There's an allusion to that in verse 5 of chapter 2, where he's in the belly of the fish and he cries to the Lord and he says, the waters compassed me about to the soul, the depth closed round about me, the weeds were wrapped around my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. And for a period of time, it seems that Jonah was drowning. You see, his rebellion led to painful correction. What a sorry situation this man had found himself in. Would this be the end? Is this how life would finish up, drowning because of rebellion? You know, here's the thing. God could have let Jonah drown. He had rebelled against the Lord. But here's where we see the amazing grace of God. You see, God wasn't finished with Jonah. And God is the God of countless second chances. And God wouldn't let him just descend to the bottom of the ocean and be drowned without hope. Rather, in grace, God sent a great fish to swallow him and to save him. Now, here's one for the boys and girls. In the beginning, in the garden, we often say that Eve ate of the apple. We don't know what it was just the fruit of the tree. In all of the books that you read about Jonah and the children's illustrations, it'll say Jonah and the whale. Well, we don't know if it was a whale or not. It was just a great fish. And we don't know exactly what kind of fish it was. The word literally means great sea creature. Could have been a whale. And certainly, you know, many people have said, oh, this is what makes this story a nonsense. This has never could happen, a man be swallowed and survive. 1771, look it up. There was a man swallowed by a sperm whale, and he survived a number of days in that the belly of a sperm whale. So it's very, very possible. What we find here, however, is another possibility, because it says, now the Lord had prepared a great fish. Could it have been that the Lord created a creature just for this moment? It's not beyond possibility. Something to think about. But I think it is amazing we read that the Lord had prepared a great fish. Just as he had prepared a storm, he had prepared a great fish. The all-knowing God knew long before this event that Jonah would let him down, that Jonah would run and rebel. And you know, God had a redeeming plan already prepared, a fish already marked out that would save Jonah's life. It wasn't a pleasant experience. It was a gruesome experience. What an incredible analogy of God's response to our rebellion. God's response to man's sin wasn't reactionary, but was rather pre-prepared. You see, for all of eternity, God had a plan in place to redeem fallen mankind. God knew that the man he created would sin against him. And that's why we read verses like 1 Peter 1 and 20 that speak of the Lord Jesus, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. Oh, you see, the cross was not an afterthought. The cross was pre-prepared. The cross is an analogy of this great fish. The Lord had it prepared to swallow up all of our sin, to swallow up our rebellion, to give us a second chance, to a means of stopping us being forever lost. You know, it's also greatly encouraging that as believers, the Lord is already prepared for our failures and faults. He already sees them, and he has means to restore us back to a place again. But you know, nevertheless, while God spared Jonah's life, Jonah had to experience the painful hand of God's discipline. All was painful. You see, Jonah's rebellion led to painful correction. But of course, God's discipline is further proof and an extension of God's love. As I've said, it would have been worse if God had just let Jonah go. Proverbs 3 and 12 reminds us that whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Spurgeon says God never allows his children to sin successfully, and Jonah is proof of that statement. God took Jonah to the darkest, deepest, most disgusting place to correct him. He literally took him to rock bottom. Wasn't pleasant. But my, how it was profitable. And you know, that's what God often does. He's got to take us to that unpleasant, deep, dark, disgusting place. Hebrews 12 and 11 reminds us that no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. And Jonah is an object lesson of that verse. And oftentimes that's what God must do in his discipline of us. He must take us to rock bottom and break us in order to remake us. And we mustn't despise the disciplining of the Lord. In fact, so often we can feel it's harsh for the Lord to discipline us. But it's important we see God's discipline as proof of his love and as proof of our own salvation. Oh, you know, we must learn from Jonah. These things are written for our learning. What's the lesson we take away from tonight? The path of rebellion will always end up becoming a path of affliction. There's always a high price to pay. You know, Jonah paid to go to Tarshish. But he paid a far greater price than that. He went through a great storm and ended up in a most dark and disgusting place. And you know, folks, how it's a reminder tonight, and I confess it's easy to preach this and hard to practice us. We can save ourselves much pain and many problems by endeavouring to trust and obey. Oh, Jonah's rebellion started with a personal decision. Is God calling you to something tonight, dear believer? Don't reject it. Don't run from the Lord. Oh, I wonder, are you not saved tonight? Rebelling against the Lord, don't keep running, because the path you're running on will end in disaster. And God brings about affliction, and it's preventable if we would only stop going our own way and yield to the Lord's way. Don't ignore the storm in your life and what the Lord's trying to do through it. Jonah's rebellion led to painful correction. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. He's doing it to bring us back. But don't miss the reference to the Lord tonight, that God has a plan in place to redeem us from our rebellion and bring us to himself. Father, we thank you for your word to our hearts tonight. The man of Jonah, Lord, we thank you didn't let him go his own way. He went for a little while, but in grace you brought him back. We thank you for the grace of the storm and the grace of the great fish. And Lord, we thank you that even though at times your grace is painful in our lives, we know that you're doing it for our good. Should there be those tonight that are listening that have ran from the Lord, we pray you'll draw them lovingly back. Help them to understand the pre-prepared plan. And may they, like Jonah, cast themselves overboard into the sea of God's mercy and surrender their life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, that's chapter 1 of Jonah. Jonah's rebelling. Next week, we're going to look at Jonah's repenting. And so do tune in again next Sunday night. But remember, Wednesday night, 8 o'clock for our prayer time and our time in God's Word. And then next Sunday morning, 11:30 in our church building. 6:30 every night this week, our Children's Holiday Bible Club. Do remember it. Do tune in. And we do thank you for your support. Any questions you have regarding going back to church or anything that you want us to consider, do please contact myself or one of the other elders. But until then, may you all have a very blessed week. And do pray the Lord's hand to be upon you and upon your family.